Yeah, we handed out 23, but we didn't finish 22 either.
That's the one I did.
An extra what?
Or the lesson today?
Yes.
I knew I was leaving the house. I thought there's something I'm missing.
Yeah, we didn't finish lesson 22 last week, so this is what we're. Hey, fella. You need 22? Anyone else need to? Anyone else need lesson 22? I passed out lesson 23, but we didn't even cover lesson 22 when we should have last week.
All right. That's what makes you on track here.
Yeah. Lesson 22. I also handed out lesson 23 last week. I think there's two there. You can give it to somebody else if you need to. Lesson 22.
I thought we were doing 23. But
yeah, I handed out 23 last week, but we didn't touch 22, so I thought I thought we'd do that. See that cartoon that people forgot to change their clocks. Everybody's on time today. That's what I said on Facebook. Yeah. Did you see what I, you didn't see what I said on Facebook?
You know what it's like. They said, well, I think they originally thought they'd think about people in agriculture, you know, farming. If that's like taking and cutting one end of a blanket off, throw it on the other, you think you're going to make that longer.
That's one of my Indian ancestors saying. Yes. I don't care which way we do it, just so we don't change. Well, it is, while we're talking about it, if you get the Costco Connection magazine, they have a debate in there. People discuss yes or no, this, and that was what was in it this last issue. And the guy that said, the question was, should it be eliminated? And the guy that said yes, I thought he had the best argument. Of course, he agrees with me, so. And he mentioned, and I think it is true, that we have a cicada clock rhythm. I mean, I woke up an hour earlier today, according to the clock. And it takes me in 6 months to get used to it, and then it goes back the other way. All right, good to see you. Lesson 22 is Jesus in the garden. As I mentioned, for those of you who do have the ability to get on Facebook and to the group that we're in, most of this lesson has to do with John 15, 16, and 17. And just for your information, and also if you want to write it down, the parallel passages are in Matthew 26, verse 36 through 38, or Matthew 26, really. We have here Mark 14, verse 32 through 42. And then Luke 22 is Luke's account. And so far as that first one, the betrayer is at hand, is John 18, verse 1. But as I've already said, John 15, 16, 17 are the parallel passages that have to do with Jesus leaving the Passover feast and going out toward the Mount of Olives. And before he goes into the garden, he has quite a bit to say to his apostles, 11 of them. Judas is already gone. So, is there any question or thoughts that we left undone last week? Can we remember that far back and see if we need to say anything else? We were talking last time about the new commandment, and we were talking about the 3 days and the 3 nights in the garden. And we, for those of you who weren't here, we showed some slides of Jerusalem and the Garden of Gethsemane, or the Mount of Olives, really. Okay, anything before we, I'm going to go through quickly these questions for review. Let's get a little bit of what is going on in our minds. The first one says, what parable does Jesus give to show the relationship to Christ? And this is in John 15, very familiar passage. The vine and the branches. And so the next question says, in the parable, who is the Father and who is the Son and who are the disciples? Okay. The Father is the vine dresser, as Moe's version says. The farmer, the vineyard planter, if you'll put it that way, is the Father. And Jesus is what?
The vine.
The vine, and the disciples are the branches. How do we abide in the love of Christ? And I think one other sheet we had, all the passages are listed here that you need to look at. So it gives here John 15, 9 through 11. How do we abide in the love of Christ? If you
keep his commandments,
If you keep my commandments, you abide in me if you keep my commandments. Okay, right. What did Jesus tell the disciples at this time that he had not told them before? Okay. Is that in John 16 or 4 or 15, 26? 16, 4? Okay, he had. Okay, that's the passage is there, not that clear. John 15:26, 16:4. They needed to be a semicolon there, but anyway, yeah, John 15 through 16. That's not the only thing that he said. And Laverne is correct. I've got to go to the Father. Okay. Did he tell? Had he told them that before? Okay. What else? If there's something else. Who will be a witness? I don't know who said that. So. I guess that's what the person's referring to. You must also testify, Mo. Okay, he had sent the helper. Did I get this reference wrong? In addition to what has been said, he told them you'll be put out of the synagogue and killed. Exactly, right. Yeah, that's not a good print. I should say it's just a plain misprint. So he was telling them some things after the supper. He was telling some things that they hadn't heard before in specifics. What did Jesus promise to do in the near future? This is number 6. And somebody's already said this, but they didn't connect it with the near future. All right, that he would send, when I go away, I will send a comforter, a counselor, an advocate, all of those words in different versions. And let's see, I don't want to answer the next question or so. Who would that be? It would be the Holy Spirit. He shall guide you into all the truth. Remind you what I have taught you and guide you into all the truth. For what did Jesus pray on the way to the garden? All of this instance, this speech, as it's called here, it transpired on the way to the garden. So what did he pray? What did Jesus pray on the way to the garden? As we mentioned last week, Jesus prayed four prayers. One before he gets to the garden itself, and then three while he was there. So what did he pray before he got on it? This was says, on the way to the garden, John 17, 1 through 5. Yes. That God would glorify him. Okay. Number eight, after praying for himself, now he's gotten to the garden, for himself, for whom did Jesus pray? His apostles, is that what I heard? Okay. Was there a question or comment? I'm hearing voices. number nine, among those given to Jesus was lost? You have given me these, however there is one, Judas. All right, the quote is, Jesus said the one who is doomed to destruction is the one that he lost. When praying for believers, what did Jesus pray would be true? Okay, Ted said that they would be one. And then, as Laverne put it, the future believers would be one with the Father? Is that what you said? Okay, the Father and Son. How did Jesus put it that he prayed for his apostles that they be one, even as you, Father, and I, Father, are one, and also for those who believe, and how would those people believe? That's not a good way to put it. Yes. Go ahead again. That you sent me. But Jesus prayed for his disciples that they be one. And that the world may believe that you sent me. How are those people going to get that faith? And I can't, if I say any more, I'll give you the answer. Through the word, but that's, you expand on that. Laverne? Okay, we've got it up here, but I'll get the two hands back there as well. Lysander?
Okay, are you looking for a specific word or a specific scripture?
It's a specific scripture right here that we're looking at.
Okay. Through
their word. It's the word, that's true. But also for those people who believe through their, whose word? The disciples, the apostles specifically. I didn't mean to make it so vague, but that gives us an understanding that Jesus is not going to be around, as he's already said, but the people who believe from here on out after I'm gone are going to believe through what the apostles say, and they're going to, what the apostles say is going to be not my word, but not their word, but the Holy Spirit's word, actually not Jesus' word, but the Father's word. So I was trying to get us to see what I'm thinking in my mind is that the faith that the people from here on are going to have during the New Testament period of time is that faith is going to come through what the apostles say and the miracles that they perform to confirm it. Patrick? Okay. He uses a phrase, and it may be in the same passage, he uses a phrase that God's word, we'll put it that way, it's not an exact quote, was put in earthen vessels. What did he mean by that? We got a jug up here, and we got the Bible, and it was put down in it. Say that again. Okay. Vessels of the flesh, meaning men, women. That's how they are going to believe. Anything else that we left out there? To what place, number 11, did Jesus and his disciples go? Well, that's a hard one. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane, as it is called. For what purpose had Jesus come to this place? We went there to pray. And number 13, it's got two parts to it. Whom did Jesus take with him to watch with him? Peter, James, and John. And what happened? And they fell asleep. For what did Jesus pray in the garden? Okay. You started out with the quote there, that the cup, take this cup from me, is what he prayed for, that he wouldn't have to go through the suffering. 15, what happened to Jesus while he was praying? What? Well, I wasn't thinking of that. You see, he prayed for God to glorify him. No, you're thinking too far back. Kelly, I think you said it. I didn't hear. The angels came and ministered to him. Okay. You're right there, Laverne, in Matthew, the 17th chapter, that took place on top of the mountain, but not here in Gethsemane. Okay, good. So the angels ministered to him. Got a speculative question. What did they do for him? They strengthened him. That's what my version says. Did he still sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? So the angels coming and strengthening him didn't cease, it didn't cause Jesus to cease to suffer, right? He was not alone. Okay. Ted? Reassurance. I said it was a speculative question because it didn't said what they did for him other than that he was strengthened. I think that any person in the flesh, as Jesus was at this time, would need some help, or he'd be completely overwhelmed, not just with great drops of sweat of blood. Can't even quote it. But anyway, that's, yes. His disciples went to sleep. They couldn't. They couldn't give him any help, so to speak. So the angels came and ministered to him. Anything else? As I said, it was the scripture doesn't say what they actually did specific that caused him to be strengthened. Ted, go ahead.
Well, giving them the benefit of the doubt, they would fully understand that happened.
The angels would fully understand
no,
what?
No, I'm talking about the disciples that told.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the disciples.
Yeah.
They would not have fully understood what was happening. Yeah. They didn't grasp the situation, did they? He did, didn't he? You get the question? That's a good one. Why was he what? Why did he have to pray so much? We got a lot of answers here. I saw hands all over the place up. Okay. Go ahead, Karen. Okay. Mo is next. Okay, I think that may have been in his background mind. But and I wouldn't reject that idea. But I want some more comments, and then we'll. Now somebody over here, someone else over here. I thought I saw a hand, but if not, we'll go over here, and we've got Laverne. He was human. Don't say part.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And that's how we are. He was that much like us.
Okay. And this is getting to what Karen said. Anything else? Yeah, I was going to try to repeat it, but I may have to ask her to do that. Ted, go ahead. Okay, Karen's, and I can't quote her exactly, but Karen's thought was that all of us are appointed to die. Are we all going to have the same emotions if we know that death is coming? I mean, it's not something sudden that we're not expecting, even if it would be. There is something about the facing of death. But in addition to that, and I'm not adding on to what Karen said here probably, unless I didn't hear it, as was stated, Jesus was in the flesh. He also knew what he was going to face. We know that because he said he prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Cup meaning the suffering that he's going to go through. He knew what it was going to be. If you knew you were going to be tortured, flogged, and then hung on a cross, your fleshly being, or part of your being, as Jesus was, looks at that, and I'm asking you to critique what I'm saying here. He realizes that, and if you realize you're going to be beat nearly to death, and then have nails driven through your hands and feet, and suffer on a cross, would you not pray to God, if it's possible, let this pass from me? He knew that it wasn't going to be, but that's another subject. Go ahead, Kramer. Patrick?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to say deeply, you know, anybody else has said, but you talking to me that way, you brought me to Hebrews chapter 5. I just want to read a couple of things.
By the things which he suffered? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He says, in the days of this pleasure of the Christ, he offered up those prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was taken to death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obeyed him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God.
That was Hebrews 5, verse 5 you began? Okay. Okay.
And the one that really gets me there is that he was working obedience to the things he suffered. He did that in the head being
He did it, he went through it in order to obey, and of course, bring to fruition the purpose and plan that God had. But it wasn't easy, because he was God in the flesh. I don't know if that answers your question, Gail. Let's look at it some more, and somebody else has got some things to say. Kelly, and then Dawn.
Well, just to add to that, on top of it, he wasn't guilty of any of that.
Exactly, yeah.
I can't imagine that burden of all the things the world can pass and future being laid on him who didn't know sin. That must have been a brutal mental act.
People can suffer for something they didn't do themselves, but here Jesus knew that what he's going to go through was not because he sinned. You suffer for something that you didn't do. Maybe somebody told a lie about you and you suffer about it. It's not anything like he suffered on the cross. Mo? Oh, wait a minute. We had Don first.
He
didn't go to the garden and say, oh, well, this, no, this, and I know I'm going to go out tomorrow on the cross. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
He knew what he's going to go through. And this, go ahead, Mo.
Was no ram, not any brand.
Yeah. Don't go too far. You're going to do my lesson, don't you? No, that's good. Appreciate that. Abraham and Isaac are a good example, and I'm thinking of that. I often think how Abraham must have felt going up the mountain. Father, here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham knew what it was going to be, but he went ahead and went through it. Anyway, I had another thought, too.
In the moment.
Go ahead, Kelly, and we got some more, and I think I'll think of it.
Pat's comment made me think of Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 12. You know, Jesus kept fixing his eyes on what was going to be, you know, that he's going to be glorified and be with God again. That's what God did that time. But in Hebrews 4, we can take comfort that we have high priests who knows exactly what we're going through.
And that's that was Dawn's point.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
I just was springboarding off of that because, you know, sometimes we focus in on we've got one who's been tempted in every way just like we are. But what greater temptation would there be to be faced with such a cruel death when you know that you could call those angels down and to not give in to that temptation?
Yeah.
We have somebody we can go to who can suit us and say,
okay, I've got my thought back, but I think I saw two more hands. You're even then, Ted.
Well, basically, we're thinking off of the Savior. We know that in the past, he said he agreed to the Father and the death. Well, that agreement would have been, like you said, you could have called on a leading man, but
he obeyed the Father. Go ahead. There is differences of understanding on that phrase, and I understand what they're saying. I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm not sure I understand it. But Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He said on the cross, which is what she's brought up here, and that would have been if God did actually forsake him there on the cross, and that's the difference of understanding. That would have been something that was as hard to take, so to speak, suffering as some of the physical thing he's going to go through, is the point that was being made there. But the thought that I had, just so I can get my point in, another point is how else could man be forgiven of his sin which separates him from God? First of all, God is merciful. God is righteous. God is loving. God is kind. God has grace. And it's by the grace of God that we are saved. But God had to use what in order to bring about that salvation? It was his law, will, whatever you want to call it, that through the shedding of blood or the giving of a life, could sin be covered. But everybody that lived from Adam until whenever has sinned, so that wasn't a lamb without spot and blemish. And there was only one that could have given up his life in order to cover the... God's justice demanded payment for sin. And so, in order to for him to cover man's sin, a perfect life had to be given. And that's why he sent his son in the flesh, and he gave that perfect sacrifice, or that life, and that's the only way God could have done it, is my understanding. So, the thanksgiving that we ought to give to God, the thankfulness, the praise, the glory, the honor that we ought to give to God, who was so compassionate, kind, loving, and yet just, that somebody died for us. And the suffering that Jesus went through physically there in the garden, as maybe spiritually, mentally, I know, I'm not sure that we can fully grasp the whole of it. But the idea that he prayed three times, he prayed so intensely that the sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood coming from his forehead. You ever had your head just start bleeding? A nose, yeah, I know some people have nosebleed, but that's not what we're talking about. Well, anyway, I hope that's been helpful to us and helping us to appreciate what Jesus did there in the garden. We have just a few minutes. Did I see another hand? Did we have just a few minutes maybe to look at the questions for thought here? And we've been thinking like everything here, haven't we? Why is the state of modern-day religion contrary to that for which Jesus prayed? Let's get before us what Jesus prayed again. I pray for these fellows that they be one, and for those who believe on me through their word that they be one. That's not an exact quote. Is that what he prayed for? So what's the state of modern day religion that's contrary to that? Division. Those people who think that they are religious, that they are righteous, divided all over the place, right? They're not one, okay? Discuss how the Holy Spirit accomplished what Jesus said that he would in John 16, verse 8 through 11. What did the apostles, what the Holy Spirit say would be accomplished? Okay, through the Holy Spirit would convict the world through, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and I can't even quote it now, and the judgment to come. How would the Holy Spirit accomplish that? Convicting of the world of sin, just generally speaking. Right and wrong. In their immediate context. Patrick is right if you go out of good ways.
Concerning sin because they do not believe
in it. Yeah, but how would they be convicted of sin, righteousness, judgment to come? First of all, through the preaching of the apostles. Because the Holy Spirit's going to tell the apostles what to say. Now, we can take what the Holy Spirit said in this word here, and we can teach a person, and then what Patrick said is so. But it's not us doing it. It's the word that's doing it. Here is the Holy Spirit giving the word to the apostles, and they convicted the world in which they lived of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. Make sense? Am I wrong? Why did the world hate Jesus, and why would it hate his disciples?
Some people don't want to know
that. There's quite a few of those Jesus talked about and talked to, didn't he? Some people don't know they're wrong. Patrick?
Men love darkness better than the light.
Jesus said that. Men love darkness better than the light. Any other thoughts? And all of these can be true. They don't want to. That's right. The Pharisees didn't want to lose their power. Why did the world hate Jesus? Why would it hate his disciples? All the other answers are right, but there's the key to what this passage here is referring to. They do not know me. Well, I thought they saw Jesus. A lot of them saw Jesus. Did they know him? Not in the gnesko type. That's a Greek word for know. Not in the imminent understanding of Jesus. What was the cup that Jesus prayed for his father to remove? We've discussed that, haven't we? The suffering that he was going through. If it was possible for the Father to remove Jesus' cup, why did he not do it? We kind of got into this already too, didn't we? It wasn't possible. That's right. God couldn't save the world if he didn't. Okay. No. Kelly's referring to that covenant that God made with Abraham and the two halves of the animal placed here and Abraham walked through. Okay. He didn't walk through it. All right. Anyway, go back in that passage there in Genesis and refresh our memories on that. Anything else on lesson 22? Appreciate your comments and questions this morning. We handed out lesson 23 last week, and I have a few left if you didn't get one. So if we give them all out, I can certainly make some more. Mo, since you need one, unless you take one and give it to whoever else holds their hands up on lesson 23. Some of you have had it since last week. We handed it out. Yes.
We've had people, I'm sure we've all had people say to us, don't judge me. We don't judge anybody.
We can judge people, but when we're teaching the word, it's the word that judges them and not
Don't
yeah.
Don't judge me.
Yeah. But another passage I refer to, somebody said, well, don't, you know, you're not supposed to judge. Well, Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't